This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, we'll start off today by continuing our conversation with Wes Hornback, who's a cattle specialist for Purina. On Friday, Wes talked to us about body condition scoring, and today we'll take the conversation a little bit further and discuss how to relate those numbers to what you're feeding, and we'll talk about how you can determine what nutrients are in your hay bales.
By all means, there is no need to do a whole lot of labor in your body condition scoring.
And you mentioned the importance of relating the score with the hay that you're feeding or the feed. And also in your presentation at the meeting I was at, you talked about getting like a forage lab report. Maybe explain some of the information that can provide and where farmers could send their hay to get that done.
Yeah, we like to really get a good analysis on that hay so we know what we're feeding. Between first cutting grass hay that may be gotten a little bit mature on us, or if it's cut perfect, those hays are totally different in the end, or something that's got a little bit of alfalfa in it is going to have a lot higher protein value than some other hays. So hay is a very variable feedstuff when you look at it across farms, fields, anything or cutting along that line. So by getting your hay analyzed for the main things that we look at, I guess, are protein, energy, and fiber levels. So the fiber level tells us just about how much that cow is going to eat of that hay. And energy tells us how much value that hay has. And then the protein tells us if we need to supplement with anything else to help increase that. And so we take that, and then we can target that hay to a certain life stage of that animal or a body condition. If we're trying to push an animal, for instance, we don't want to feed her the lowest quality hay that we have at that time. Or if she's in a maintenance requirement versus lactating is going to require a lot more energy, so we want to make sure we match the right hay to that environment of that cow. Where we can go to get these hay tested. So Purina works with SureTech Laboratories, which is out of Indianapolis, and any of our Purina dealers and co-ops, talk to them. They typically will have a hay probe that they'll go out and core some samples of your hay. Typically we do 5 to 6 bales per sample. We go in, we core those bales, and we take a little Ziploc bag and we send that off, and 3 or 4 days later we get our test back, our analysis back on that hay, and then we can take it from there. So
I think probably a good way to really get the information on what you're feeding, because it's not like when you have a bag of feed you know exactly what's in it. This probably has a lot of benefits of having those tests done.
Yeah, so then we can match if that hay needs an extra boost of some sort or a supplement, we can match that supplement to what that cow needs versus what they have on the hay. So something that I like to do and we at Purina like to do is maximize what you have on the farm and the feedstuffs that you carry. So what we will provide is something that can maximize what you can get out of your hay. For instance, our Rangeland protein tubs or Accuration blocks. They work off of hay quality, and the lower the hay quality on our Accuration block, the higher the intake of that one. The Rangeland tub works that if you have a lower quality hay, they eat a little bit off of that tub. The rumen functions better, and they can digest more of that poor quality hay, and they can get more out of it in the end. So two of those supplements can work. There's also a multitude of different options out there that will fit your needs depending on the life stage of the animal, the hay quality, and what fits your operation on that side.
Well, all great things you've mentioned, Wes, and really things to think about as we move into the colder season and feeding that hay and worrying about the weight of the cows and how they're doing. Is there anything else or advice that you'd give farmers as we move into these winter months?
One thing, I guess, that I would bring up is that when we get into a colder season, we need to make sure that we're matching not only what our forage quality and nutrient requirements of that cow are, but that nutrient requirement of that cow will go up when colder weather hits. So about an easy figure is about 30 degrees, roughly, is the lower critical temperature of a cow. And once it drops every degree below 30 degrees, it increases the energy requirement of that cow about 1%. So when we look at a day that's zero outside, we need to make sure that we're supplementing that cow with maybe a little bit extra that day or the days before that it reaches that temperature, just to make sure that we're matching what that cow needs and getting everything in her so she's not going down in condition. Because if we keep them in good condition, they're going to work for us better, they're going to calve out every year, and we're going to have healthy calves hit the ground, and everything's going to work out well. So I'd just leave you with that.
Once again, that was Wes Hornback with Purina, and coming up next, we'll talk about some national and world ag news after these messages. Monsanto and Bayer officials met together with about 200 members of the American Soybean Association and asked them to support the proposed merger between the two companies. Monsanto Chief Technology Officer Rob Fraley and a Bayer Ag Board member, Liam Condon, talked about the potential $66 billion acquisition with members of the American Soybean Association and the United Soybean Board at the United Soybean Board's winter meeting in St. Louis. Farm Journal Research says the merger would create a company controlling nearly 37% of the corn seed market and 30% of the market for soybeans. The deal is in the hands of regulators and won't close until late next year. Condon reinforced the message he's already given to regulators, and that's that they're willing to sell off where the companies overlap if objections are made on antitrust grounds. Condon said those objections may happen in cotton and canola, as those are two of the more likely areas. In other news, the Chinese government recently proposed a draft rule on food imports that has the European and U.S. governments concerned. Trade officials from both nations are concerned that the new rules could hamper billions of dollars in goods like coffee, pasta, and biscuits that are all shipped to the number two economy in the world. The proposed rule is part of a push by China to increase its oversight of the country's large food supply chain. The new rule for shipping food imports into China will require imports to have health certificates with them, even if the products are designated as low risk. PorkNetwork.com says the new regulations will add costs and logistical headaches to a number of companies that do business in China. Germany's ambassador to China, Michael Kloss, told Reuters that the new draft has clearly crossed a line from protecting the consumer to outright protectionism of the domestic producer. Chinese producers will not be required to meet the same standards. The Chinese Administration of Quality, Supervision, Inspection, and Quarantine is the group that oversees food import safety, and a request from Reuters to receive more information from the agency was not responded to. And that does it for today's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.